brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone, to another suds segment where life is like a pony keg. You may not get as much out of it as you hoped, but if it's filled with the good stuff, you'll still be satisfied when it kicks. Ba-dum-tsh.
No, we're not doing that.
Okay, fine. I'm one of your hosts, Good Old Gal Juliana. And joining me today at the table is Good Old Boy Kendall.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
So excited.
I am too.
Reverend Mark, hello.
Hello, hello. Good to be with you all.
And then there's...
this guy.
Good Old Boy Dave.
I like this.
That's just my new catchphrase.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Well, on a recent trip up to Pennsylvania.
Is that how like every episode starts?
Yeah, I feel like I'm saying that quite often. Anyways, Dave and I stopped at this amazing bottle shop where we found, among other things, collections of IPAs from Prison City Brewing in Auburn, New York. For those of you that may not know, we're Auburn, New York is...
it's very tip top of the state. It's like the northernmost point of New York State.
It's the most eastern part of the Finger Lakes. There's a lot of Finger Lakes. Some are longer than others.
I've heard that before.
That's the one that's...
there's your comic rim shot. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. That's very sweet. Okay. Good old boy Dave, why don't you read some words and tell us about them?
Yes. From the home of the middle finger. Like, no, I'm just kidding. Welcome to Auburn, New York, a place known by another name, Prison City. No one gets out. This intriguing moniker has become synonymous with the rich history and unique character that our city holds. Nestled within this captivating locality is Prison City Brewing, a local gym established in 2014. Since its inception, our brewery has been committed to crafting exceptional beers that reflect the spirit of Auburn and captivate the taste buds of beer enthusiasts near and far. At Prison City Brewing, we pride ourselves on creating an experience that goes beyond simply offering a refreshing pint. We invite you to join us on a flavorful journey where each sip unveils layers of craftsmanship, passion, and the undeniable charm of our beloved Prison City. Just so you know, Auburn is called Prison City because of the Auburn Correction Facility, which was built in 1816, the year Reverend Mark was born.
Yep, pretty
it's
close.
It's been the home of mobsters, serial killers, and other something was, and it was also the location of the first execution by electric chair.
Wow.
Incidentally, if you live in New York State and drive a car or truck, your license plate was probably made there.
Wow. Nice little fun fact at the end.
Yeah.
Look at you stamping with the Google out them machine.
Ka-chunk, ka-chunk. How many murders are committed? People getting crushed by a license plate machine.
That almost sounded like the opening to Laverne and Shirley. But anyways.
We're going to do it.
Okay. Well, good old boy Kendall, why don't you give us today's lineup?
Happy to. The Prison City Brewing beers we'll be tasting and discussing today are Haze On, a hazy IPA. Mass Riot, a New England IPA. So Stupendous, also a New England IPA. See a pattern here?
I like how they're distinguishing between New England IPAs and hazy IPAs.
That's a good discussion point for later. Riot in Maine, a double New England IPA. Linus Loves Juicy, New England IPA.
Great name.
Citra Oasis, a hazy double IPA. And here we go, a hazy IPA.
Cool. Mm. Right?
Interesting pattern.
Yes.
Lots of IPA.
Yeah.
Okay, Reverend Mark, why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
Okie doke. Glad to. Today we'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are the ratings. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a butt. Number two, was that a belch? Number three, what a relief. Number four, a body should really not make that sound. And number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Great job, Reverend Mark.
Woohoo. Okay, let's get to the first beer. First of all, I'm going to say the website is decent. Yeah, I like it.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad. And the first beer that we are going to talk about is Haze On, which is a hazy IPA. And I love the label on it. They actually make a shirt, a button-down shirt, with this logo, which is kind of cool. Great. Yeah. You know, the bikeriness. And all of us would appreciate that.
Bikeriness.
It's a word. I know. Okay. 6.1% ABV. A wise man once said, the more you F around, the more you find out. We decided to F around with some Cryopop hop blend and found out it makes beer delicious. Also featuring Simcoe and Citra, the beer is an absolute parade of juicy tropical goodness. And this took silver at last year's New York State Brewers Association craft beer competition in the hazy IPA category.
Which was held at Auburn Correctional Facility, cell block 3.
Okay.
And we know why they're all hazy beers, because you can pass contraband.
That's right.
Into the prison without it being detected.
Yeah.
If it's hazy enough.
Yeah, can't see it. Ooh, can't see the shiv until it's in you.
Is it shank or shiv?
It depends on what part of the country you're
in. To shank or to be shivved.
That's right.
Ooh. Okay. Thoughts?
The color kind of concerned me at first. Mm. You know, a lot of hazies are that really golden yellow color.
This one's
color.
Got a little bit of orange.
It's a little orange and maybe even bumping up against just kind of dull brown.
Yeah.
But I was afraid that was going to come across into this big, like, caramelly sweet flavors or something. Yeah. And it's not. This is still a pretty good beer. It just looks weird.
Yeah. It's pretty bright.
And I wonder if, like, where this was in the packaging, like, you know, the can that we got, like, from the beginning of the, you know, drain versus, you know, as it was being packaged, like, are we getting something towards the end, or I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It might just be a, you know, the malt choice they use. It's like make it a little bit darker just to make it a little bit distinctive, because we've got a bunch of other hazy beers here. So we might see either a pattern or quite a diversity of the color in them.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. It's
I like it.
Tasty. Mm-hmm. And what I like about it is the tropicalness in it is not overwhelming.
No,
it's there.
It's subdued.
But you're also getting some like forest floor and it's a nice balance.
I like the Simcoe. Was it the
Citra?
The Simcoe Citra. Mm-hmm. Those really work well together.
Yeah, they do.
A Cryopop. I don't.
Well, that's,
I like that.
That's new. Yeah. But yeah, this is easy. Very easy drinking. And I like that it's not too far into the citrus or tropicalness. You know, this is kind of like where my palate wants to sit nowadays, is not too far tropical and not quite full West Coast, but you know.
Yeah, you don't need your mind blown with every pint. Like, oh my God, there's so much coconut and mayo and
Too resiny, you know, because you could get palate fatigue with a lot of these, but this one doesn't seem to be so much.
Yeah, it doesn't go too far in any direction. It's a nice balance.
No, and I can see why this meddled, you know, but if you're looking for something that has some pineapple in it, this is a nice pineapple as opposed to some others that are out there.
I'm thinking maybe that malt choice that gave it this color is part of a design that just like, hey, let's balance out those tropical flavors with a little bit, because you know you're drinking a beer here.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of hazies, you don't really get any malt
character. Am I drinking juice? Right.
Yeah, so you're just drinking juice.
This is really nice and balanced, and you do have a beer here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And cool.
6.9, you said?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, 6.1.
Oh, that's even more impressive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it packs a lot of punch for what it is, you know? Yeah.
I agree.
All right. Well, we are going to rate this a 4.
All right. Good start.
Way to go out the gate with Haze On. Okay. The next one that we're going to talk about is Mass Riot. Hmm. Now, if you look at the can, it has the state of Massachusetts. It's got a dog. It's got a ship. And so I would assume that this is an homage to the state of Massachusetts.
The many, many nice NEPAs that come out of it.
Right. Yep. Right. Yeah. This is 6.8% ABV. Arguably their most famous beer to date. Back in the day, they used to put this bad boy in crowlers and sell out in a day. And this has meddled a few times as well over the years. But this has been around since like at least 2016. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. And a different color, Kendall, would you say, from the first one?
Very much. Yeah. Yep. What I would expect out of a New England IPA.
Yeah. We'll be back with more in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a brewery takeover from Prison City Brewing.
I'm Ron.
So I wanted
Bergen.
To make sure. Yes. In Auburn, New York. And right before the break, we started talking about the second beer in our series, which is called Mass Riot. It's a 6.8% NEPA. Hazy, juicy treat loaded with Simcoe, Citra, and Mosaic hops. So what does everyone think of it?
I really like this beer. It's like the last one. It's very balanced.
It's a little spritzy.
Yeah.
There's none of that hop burn you get in some of these beers.
It's a little more of like what you would expect from, and I guess this is a great time to say, like, what's the difference between a hazy IPA and a NEPA? Like,
yeah,
are
really
all NEPAs
curious.
Hazy, but not all hazies are NEPAs?
Right. So I think the NEPA has that big creamy mouthfeel thing going. They're very juicy. They have almost no bitterness. And I think you can get an hazy IPA where you start cranking up the bitterness level and it's more traditional IPA flavors. But I don't know if there is a big difference.
I think that gets really close to how I'd differentiate that in my thinking or on my palate. I do think with the NIPAs, there is a softness usually through the addition of oats.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's consistent throughout. With other kinds of hazies that are not necessarily NIPAs, it could be a West Coast with just some extra haze in there through
yep.
adjuncts or whatever, you know, and a little bit more tropical, perhaps.
Should NIPAs only be made in New England?
Well, it's like saying should bourbon only be in Kentucky? Maybe the influence, the kind of the style parameters were established there, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe like calling it a hazy is a good out. Like, oh, you're in, you know, Wyoming. Why are you trying to make a NIPA? Oh, it's a hazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. But if you're in New York State, you can get away with either because you're,
yeah,
you know, there.
You know, we were just looking at, like, it was kind of weird that half of their beers are NIPAs and half are hazies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, pick one.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what the pattern is after we get through a few of these, because there is a difference between these two beers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, totally. Like, to me, I'm getting like this champagne-y effervescence, mm-hmm. almost like
it's a mimosa. Softer and lighter. You know,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm really like, could this be breakfast? I think so. You know what I mean? Because it's a different kind of juicy. But I'm enjoying it, and there's no like sharp aftertaste. It finishes nice and it's easy, and
yeah
it makes me want more. Now, does this taste 6.8% to you?
No.
Right? I don't feel.
No, it's quaffable.
Yeah. I mean, not that there's a big difference between 6.1 and 6.8, but I feel like this is very easy drinking.
After about three or four, there probably is.
Well, so. That's a whole different ball of wax. Yes. So what shall we rate this? Solid 4.
All right.
There you go.
Party continues.
Okay. Yes, the party continues with the next one, which is called So Stupendous. Very colorful can art with a rhino on it and a tiger. Interesting. This tasty beer is brewed using Strata, hay, and Citra, mm-hmm. a graphic translation of passion fruit, sticky ganja, so they're told, grapefruit, mango, and guava. Okay, and this one is classified as a NIPA at 6.7.
This one's a little more subdued to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Still very light, very spritzy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But spritzy, but soft at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not getting the strong aromatics that I normally associate with the NIPA, or at least some of them, but it's easy drinking and has those citrus flavor to it.
Yeah, this one has a little more resin to me.
A little tropical, but I do get a little, resiny bitterness. There is a little bitterness on the finish of this one.
Should this one be called a hazy and not a NIPA? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it does have that nice pillowy mouthfeel.
It does. It's got the really soft mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. Just kind of a general tropical. Not any one thing stands out in particular to me, but.
No. But I mean, when you're talking about mango, guava, and passion fruit.
Just all kind of blends.
They're kind of similar, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're different and different looking, but they all blend together, and you can almost drink it as one and think it is one. You know what I mean? And I guess the grapefruit, just to give a little acidity, but I'm tasting like grass, you know, and I guess that's the sticky ganja. You know what I mean? That helps to make it kind of soft. I don't know. Reverend Mark, what do you think?
That's a perfect, it's grass, has a grassy, and not in a bad sense.
No, not in a bad way, but, and just I find
fresh
it kind of
chlorophyll, kind of green.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. But I'm digging it though, because I don't know that I taste something like this a lot. Usually, you're just like overwhelmed and bombarded with like citrus or tropicalness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is neat.
I like this one a lot. Yeah, I think this is a really good beer.
And so far, I think this is a nice showcase of like three different taste profiles.
Yeah. Very different, yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't been drinking NIPAs lately that many, so this is kind of nice to sort of pace into a few new ones.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm sure it's safe to say we've all been like Pilsner-y and, you know, into that vein of things lately. So
I'm on a lager binge.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So this is quite pleasant.
Yes. Yep.
Cool.
Quite.
Okay. And what shall we rate so stupendous?
Well, we can go there.
Okay. We're going to go 5 on this one.
Well,
all right.
Well, it lived up to its name.
Very nice beer.
Stupendous. Yeah. It really is so far. Okay. I think it's time for story time.
Tell us a story, people.
Oh, no. Yeah, gather around, children. Well, I want to tell you something. It's just up on the AP wire. It's about a Japanese town that's battling tourists by installing a screen to block, get this, Mount Fuji. What?
What?
Yep.
What?
Heard about this.
The place is called Fuji Wakachito. I think that's the
nice
way
place.
It goes. It's a town that has lots of scenic spots of the iconic mountain Fuji. Mm-hmm. But misbehaving foreign tourists are triggering a wave of concerns and complaints from the residents around.
It's always the tourist.
Yep. So, known for a number of scenic spots off that near perfect shot of Japan's iconic Mount Fuji, the town Fuji Wakachito, and we used to say that really quickly as Pentecostals to kind of get in the spirit.
Wow.
I thought that was just a flavor of Cheetos.
Fuji Wakachito on Tuesday began constructing a large black screen on a stretch of sidewalk to block the view of the mountain. The reason? Misbehaving foreign tourists.
Okay, but like...
Well, that's a bit of a... Yeah.
Aren't you hurting your own economy?
Yep. Isn't that why they're there in the first place?
Right.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a redundancy when you say misbehaving foreign tourists. But...
That's true. It's probably the Americans that are...
I was going to say, that's a Western bias too, I suppose. So Kawachito is a town that is built on tourism. The mayor of the town... The reason why they're saying that they're erecting the screen is because of foreign tourists. And so it is a town, of course, that is built on tourism. It is said that they welcome the visitors, and the town welcomes them too. But there are many things about their manners that are worrying. This was voiced by a local cafe owner nearby, Michi Motochi, who likes to sell Japanese sweets near the soon-to-be-blocked photo spot. Motochi mentioned littering, crossing the road with busy traffic, ignoring traffic lights, trespassing into private properties. Now, she isn't unhappy, though. 80% of her customers are foreign visitors whose numbers have surged after the pandemic hiatus that kept Japan closed for about 2 years. Her neighborhood suddenly became a popular spot about 2 years ago, apparently after a photo that was taken in a particular angle showing Mount Fuji in the background, as if sitting atop a local convenience store. It became a social media sensation known as Mount Fuji Lawson. Well, the mostly foreign tourists who have since crowded the small area, triggering a wave of concerns and complaints from residents about visitors blocking the narrow sidewalk, taking photos on the busy road, and walking into neighbors' properties. In Europe, concerns over tourists overcrowding historic sites led Venice last week to launch a pilot program to change day trippers a €5, which is $5.35, entry fee. Authorities hope it will discourage visitors from arriving on peak days and make the city more livable for its dwindling residents.
Mm.
Huh.
Hmm.
Okay, so hold on. All right, so Fuji...
Wakachito.
So they're known for one thing, which is basically you can get a good shot of Mount Fuji.
Right.
And they're going to build a giant... And they're like, no. So instead of, I don't know, like building a designated photo spot or maybe a crosswalk or a few things, we're going to just block it out. Hey.
I totally get it. I heard this on the radio, and it sounds like it's a bunch of crazy Gen Z TikTokers from all over the world coming to take pictures. And I, after hearing this story, I kind of felt sorry for the people of Fuji Wakachito.
It's Gen Zers, man. Like,
it's being a Nashvilleian too. I can understand putting up with annoying tourists. So I get where they're coming from.
See
them,
like you say that, like Julianne and I've been. We'll go driving downtown or driving through downtown, not to go to downtown. But like people will stand out in the middle of the street to take a selfie of like something in the background.
And there's no regard to traffic or what they're obstruct. Like,
And you hear about people like falling off cliffs trying to take a selfie or like a lot. That's actually like happening a lot. Or people getting attacked by animals because they wanted to take it like look, there's this giant lion in the, the background. It's getting closer.
The internet has made us dumber.
I think it's a story of scale that kind of interests me too. That is, Mount Fuji is this huge iconic mountain, and yet it's being eclipsed, if you will, by technology. It's just scary.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wrong.
I think they should just do what Mexico does and throw them in jail and then make them pay $1,000 to get out. Mm. That'll boost your local economy. And improve behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess what they need to do is find somebody who is Instagram or social media savvy and find another place to take a photo that's not going to ruin it for the local people.
Because what I'm afraid of now is that instead of people coming there to take their picture at Mount Fuji, they're going to come there to take their picture at the giant black screen that blocks Mount Fuji.
Yeah, and then superimpose a picture.
Yeah, and then say, this is where, you know, this is wrong or whatever.
This is where you used to be able to see Mount
Fuji. Just find somebody who's super popular. Find another spot where you can get a beautiful view, but that's away from the town so that everyone can be normal, and then have that blow up and, like, make something up.
Where's Mr. Beast when we need him?
Yeah, right.
You know, help us, Mr. Beast. Help Fuji Wakachito.
Wow. Yeah.
All right.
I'm just depressed that we can all say Fuji Wakachito.
Fuji Wakachito.
Already, and we're just three beers in.
I know.
Hey, yeah. Things are looking up.
All right. I think this could be a drinking game that people do when they listen to this episode.
Yeah.
Every time someone says Fuji Wakachito.
See, there you go.
Yes.
Fuji Wakachito. Drink.
And can you touch your tip of your nose with your finger?
There's no touching.
I like this.
We're past that point. Well, okay.
Right.
Well, Reverend Mark, thank you so much for that awesome story.
Bringing the news of the world and the plight of the people of Fuji Wakachito.
And I hope I got the phonetics right. I think I did.
I think you did. I think it was perfect.
Okay.
So the next beer that we are going to talk about is Riot in Maine. Riot in Maine is a double NIPA that is 8% ABV. Their New England tour continues. Citra, Mosaic, and Simcoe hops pair nicely against an English malt backbone. This DIPA is nothing but net. Ha ha.
Mm-hmm.
And on the cover of this is, or on the cover, listen to me, the can art is the state of Maine. So I see a trend here.
I don't know about this one.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I just, on the whole, do not think double New England IPAs work.
Yeah.
It's you're bumping up all that alcohol, malt, all of that, and you're trying to usually balance that out with hops.
Yeah.
But you don't have that bitter side that you get in a big double IPA. And it's just, they always come across a little sweet and just imbalanced to me.
I agree. I think it happens in every kind of IPA, though, or like every kind of beer where you just think, oh, just double everything.
Yeah. The Americanization of beer.
Yeah.
It's not a bad beer, but it's just not a style that's ever worked for me.
It's like I could drink one of these.
Yeah, that's
but
it.
I would
never drink two.
I would drink a couple of either of the other two beers we've tried.
Right.
The aroma on it is nice, though. I mean, I'll give it that.
No, it's like Kendall said, it's not a bad beer.
But it does smell great.
Yeah.
But I'm done with it after one.
I've noticed, though, that, you know, with higher gravity beers like this one being a step up, that it takes a little while for it to open up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I'm just now getting some of the notes off the floral notes in a stronger way. But yeah.
I do like the way it smells. Yeah, you're right on that.
Yeah, but it's thick. But I can taste the alcohol on it. And and like you guys said, I can only have one. It would be like way too much.
Would this one be better with food?
Yeah.
Mm. Like something to cut through it maybe a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have yet to find a food that goes well with beers in this style.
Mm. That's fair.
Yeah, it's
there's a lot going on, and it's a lot to try to balance against.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's lingering.
And it's not a mere palate cleanser. There's too much busyness.
No, this
there.
Is like a palate killer in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but there are those that love more is more, and this is more is more.
You just want that burn for the whole night. This is your beer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think this is safe to say that the Riot in Maine is going to be a 3. Now, do you think I guess Maine, Massachusetts, Vermont, I mean, they're all so similar in their output. Like, I don't know that I've had a big beer from Maine like this. Well, we'll be back with more musings in just a minute.
The destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So today is a brewery takeover from Prison City Brewing in Auburn, New York. And right before the break, we were talking about Riot in Maine being a double NEPA. And I just find it interesting that they chose Maine to represent a double NEPA versus Massachusetts or Vermont. And Kendall, since you know more about this, like, did Maine come out with the double NEPA?
I really don't know who would have started it.
I mean?
It's really fuzzy up there, but okay. I know Bissell Brothers in Portland, Maine makes a lot of great hazies and a lot of great beer. And so there's definitely that connection throughout New England. I mean, you're talking about Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine, Vermont. There's all kinds of great hazy beer coming out of there, and it's been that way for a long time now.
Yeah. But I mean, okay, The Alchemist kind of started it.
So if there was a Riot in Vermont, would they be making something that was more maybe
Alchemist-like?
Not like a straight heady topper clone or anything, but maybe something a little bit more
You know. I don't know, because you have a lot of other breweries, but I'm blanking, on some of the breweries in Vermont that are doing kind of the same old traditional New England stuff that everybody else is. Burlington, is it Burlington Brewing, the one I'm thinking about? Makes a lot of great beers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Alchemist is kind of the outlier. You know, they're not, I would say they're not making beers in the traditional New England style anymore, but they kind of are definitely a progenitor of the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, them and a few others in Vermont back in the day making those hazy beers.
Yeah.
But every time I drink a Heady Topper or Focal Banger, I always am drawn to the bitterness of those beers too.
Yeah.
They've got a solid, you know, you're drinking an IPA. Yeah. They hadn't softened up yet as much.
Sure. And when I think of Vermont, I think of them and Lawson's. And, you know, that's,
yeah,
that's it for me. Now, interestingly, Prison City makes a Riot in Vermont, which is a 7.2% New England hazy IPA.
Wow.
That so is loaded
all
with
all the bases.
Yeah, which is Citra, Mosaic, and fermented with Vermont ale yeast. You know, so there's that. Okay.
Okay.
Well, just, I mean, food for thought, and it just had me kind of interested. All right, well, let's move on to the next beer, which is called Linus Loves Lucy.
Juicy.
Uh-huh. Lucy, juicy.
Juicy, Lucy.
And it's cute because it has a t-shirt on it.
And a blanket.
And a blankie.
Oh, that is a nice beer.
Okay.
Yeah, I like this
one.
So,
this is a NEPA, and this is only 6.5% ABV. Linus Loves Juicy is another beloved hazy IPA that's juiced up with Mosaic and El Dorado. Big notes of candied lemon and grapefruit peel.
These guys love Mosaic.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
It's the greatest of all hops.
Not East Kent Golding?
Well.
Okay, well, a different beer style. EKG's okay. Yeah, this. Mm, like when they say candied lemon and you kind of get that idea in your head, this is it. This is so nice.
Yeah, this is really nice, really easy drinking, super soft.
Yeah, you could drink a few of these.
You could get in trouble with this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not as sugary lemony as like a Cella.
Right.
Not quite that far, of course.
Sure.
But it certainly has
it's refined,
yeah.
You know, because they could go over the edge and they chose not to, and I appreciate that they didn't go over the edge with it.
I like that it lingers just a little bit and then it's gone, you know.
But it's just that nice lemon that's lingering. Yeah, that's
And it doesn't finish sweet. It finishes slightly dry and just nice. I like, this is a really good beer. Really well balanced beer.
Yeah. And I'm thinking maybe, you know, this being New England and, you know, seafood. And I could see like a really light fish, you know, that you would normally have a little bit of lemon juice on. Or it's these beers are hard, as Kendall was saying, to pair with food at all.
Sure.
But I could see, you know, something kind of a just a nice white fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not offensive, not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Not super fishy,
baked,
fishy.
Like a baked fish.
Yeah. Even salmon? Or is that too gamey?
I think that would be too gamey.
Okay.
Yeah, I think like cod or white fish.
And of course, like we're talking, you know, we could talk lobster too. Would this cut through the richness of that?
Yeah.
You'd need maybe a little bit more to stand up to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the double, maybe.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, this is really, really nice.
This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We are going to rate Linus Loves Juicy a 5.
Now, I remember, you know, I got crabs in Maine one time, and this has nothing to do with food, but I really could have used a good beer.
Really? Dave.
Oh, my.
That's another story.
We saw that coming.
Oh, God. Mm. Thanks, Dave. That's so nice.
Just trying to help.
I know. Okay. Let's go to Citra Oasis. Now, the can art on this is kind of interesting. It's got triangles, which is It's over here. We got, well, pyramids and cacti, and it's an oasis. Get it? Oh, haha. Okay,
a little dankness off of this.
Well, a little bit.
This is a New England Hazy Double IPA. We're back at 8% ABV. Ooh. So, yep, back up. This is oat heavy double IPA that's hopped with Citra in both the boil and the dry hop. So it's super soft and loaded with juicy tropical fruit.
I like the idea of just using Citra on this. I think it.
And this took silver at the American Beer Awards in 2022.
This is a dangerous beer. It really is light and crisp, and
you wouldn't know you were going drinking
down
8%.
Easy like some of the other ones. Maybe not super crisp because there's that nice hazy mouthfeel. But wow, you would not know it's 8%. It drinks way easier than
you'd
a
bang
double.
Through like three of these before you really thought about it.
And oh yeah, this is dangerous. And this is these are the kind of hazy doubles I like when they don't feel that big.
Yeah,
and you know, like I said, you can only have one, but wow, it's really
you're hanging out outside or something, and you're or God, like this on draft at the tap room, you'd be done.
Yeah.
Like if you were in Colorado drinking this before GABF.
Or if you were, you know, if you were about to have to go into Auburn Correctional Facility for a 10-year stretch and you were like, I got to have some beers.
Yeah.
You know?
No, this just reminds me of like all the good beer that we would have at the tap rooms before going into GABF. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're kind of like, why did I just do that?
Yeah.
But I wanted to try
you're
this.
So full of good I know. Beer.
Actually, good old gal June and I are going to be in Denver GABF week.
Nice.
Woo! I'm not sure if we're going to GABF, but we're going to be there. I'm really more interested in trying to get to Casa Bonita, but you know.
Casa Bonita.
But honestly, if I could just go to Hogshead and Bierstadt the entire week, I'll be happy.
Just get you a couple seats at Bierstadt and camp out.
That's a hard choice for me though, because as great as Bierstadt is, Hogshead is just as good.
I know.
English or German, which one do you want to go with?
I know, but the thing is they're different enough that you could you know.
Well, you do one day at one. And then
I feel like it's probably the only place in America to get good cask beer, but I'm getting us off topic. But you're right. Going to Denver during GABF week is one of the best things you can do as a beer lover. You don't even have to go
absolutely.
To GABF.
Yeah.
Just go to all the tap rooms, go to the breweries.
Yeah. Go up at Fort Collins, go to Boulder. I mean, everything going on even near there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, not to say that going to GABF is bad. It's good. And I think if you're a beer lover like we are, you owe it to yourself to go at least once.
At least once.
Yeah. But the nice thing about that city is you don't just have to be inside the convention center. Everything outside.
Right.
Yeah.
And they got great rail transport now.
Oh,
so
to make it easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could see this being on tap at a few places in Denver.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So do you feel the 8%?
No.
And mm-hmm. I would be careful with this beer because you could drink it quickly.
You can.
Yeah.
It's very smooth. Very smooth.
Then it's nappy time.
Yeah. It's, and for it being only with Citra, it's interesting because Citra can really stand on its own. If it's done right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They did a good job.
Yeah.
Right. And you could say with one hop, it's more one-dimensional. But sometimes that's a good thing, too.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think their malt bill really lets the citrus shine on it. If that makes any sense.
No, it does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Oh, I like that a lot.
So, okay, we are going to go a 5-star on this one with the Citra Oasis. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Talking about the malt bill, it makes me wonder, a lot of these beers look exactly alike. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're making all these wonderful IPAs, what really makes the difference is the hops and the hop techniques and the hop timing.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how many of these might start with a similar base malt,
like their house
grain recipe
mix. Yeah.
And then they've got different hopping methods for each of them.
Other than that very first one, which had sort
much
of
darker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And several of these have been very, you know, well attenuated. That is, they're not heavy. There's enough malt there to mm-hmm. hold everything up, but not a lot. So I'm wondering if there's ever any six row in with the regular two row. Mm.
I mean,
there was one that did say English malts, and I'm guessing maybe that just had a lot of Marisotter.
Yeah. But these are, I mean, these are dialed in, and these are in that same vein.
Wow. It's so good.
As all the, like, best New England beers that we have had over the years. You know what I mean?
This might be one of the best hazy doubles I've ever had.
Wow.
It's that drinkable. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them are undrinkable. Yeah. Some are tolerable, but this is really good, and I could drink a few cans of this. And
that's the thing. Would you want more than one?
Yes. You know? I could do two cans of this.
Yeah.
Well,
on a Friday night after dinner when I'm watching a movie.
Okay. Well, let's last but certainly not least. Here we go. It's a hazy IPA, 6.5% ABV. It is filled with a duo of Idaho 7 and Citra Sentinella hops as opposed to just Citra. Bringing together a tasty mix, while it offers a substantial hop presence, it maintains a refreshing and approachable character.
I remember a few years ago when Idaho 7 was brand new and everybody was kind of like, oh, Idaho 7, Idaho 7.
I can't think of what the flavor profile is on this one. Potatoes?
Wow. You know what?
Wow. That's funny.
But it's good, but it's different.
It's a substantial mouthfeel to it for me. But of course, that's part of the NEPA thing too.
Well, it does feel a little bit fuller than some of the others we've had.
Mm-hmm.
Like they might have cranked up some oats in this one.
Yeah.
It's a little, it's got a pretty assertive bitterness to it.
It does. Yeah, it's kind of balanced.
Yeah, it's in the back of my throat more than most have been.
Yeah.
A little fuller mouthfeel, a little more bitterness, but still those tropical and citrus flavors.
This is a substantial beer. Like, it's, you know.
So, Idaho 7 is known for pine, tropical, fruity, and floral.
Pine, definitely.
Most notably, mango and pink grapefruit.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody dug deep into their palette book for that. Like, yeah. Well, it's not just grapefruit. It's pink grapefruit.
I mean, it's similar. I mean, when I was reading this flight when we started the show, I was thinking, okay, we're going to have a flight here that all tastes the same because so many of these hazy breweries, I would say the less good ones.
They're very one note.
One note. And all the beers taste the same. But these guys have figured out a way. Their just hop prowess is pretty impressive because these beers are different.
And it's not just we're going to use different hops in every beer because some of these have overlap in the hops that they use.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But they're still kind of to your earlier point, the timing of when and how much and the percentages of the hops and how they utilize them
makes
the big difference.
Yeah.
And if you understand hops these days too, are they using pellets? Are they using some kind of flowable liquid? Are they using just some pure oil extract?
Yeah.
There's so many ways to get hop flavor.
Cryo powder.
I just heard about a beer that was made with no traditional hops at all. It was all just new hop products, all liquid additions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're starting to get there, which is not a bad thing because that means there's a lot of that vegetative matter that's not going in your beer.
I heard about a beer that was using just 3D printed hops.
Yeah,
that might work.
Wow.
Yeah, tastes a little artificial.
Yeah, but, okay. You know. Okay, that's funny.
This is good.
So, yeah, this is, and for 6.5%, this is, I mean, again,
ton
I know
flavor.
We're in the sixes and the eights, and like you're expecting a decent amount of flavor, but this really has some nice layers to it.
Last one that was 8% and this one that's 6.5%, you could almost have told me that this one was 8% and the other one was 6.5%. And I might believe you.
Yeah. They're almost very interchangeable.
Yeah. Just the intensity of the flavor.
Okay, so what shall we rate the Here We Go?
Man.
Yeah. 5.
Quite the show.
Yeah. Nice. And this is, it's been a while since we have had a brewery takeover of just IPAs that are very distinctive, but yet still dialed in.
They did a good job.
We've shied away from IPA shows for a while.
Well, because of that. Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to do it for today. And what a great lineup. Yeah.
So good to dive into this.
Right? Good old boy Kendall, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for letting me do prison time with you.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Reverend Mark, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Glad to share a story or two and a beer or three.
Cool. Good old boy Dave, thanks for being here.
Thanks for letting me out of solitary.
Yeah, no worries. Well, you're going to go back in now.
Back in the hole.
Yes, back in the hole. This is Good Old Gal Juliana. Thanks so much for joining us. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.